Welcome. We'd like to call the meeting to order. Mr. Crawford, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Please rise, face the flag. Please follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There were no announcements of action taken in closed session. We have our new student representative to the board from Lyndhurst High School, Ms. Kathy Vang. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you.
If you'd like to go ahead and do your report.
So I'll be first reading Marysville High School's report. So the last month of school being November and a slice of December went very well. The battle rally was very exciting and we received good student feedback. Our seasons of giving events were also successful. Adopt a family, care home cards, angel trees, and toys for tots met expectations and overall was a great way to end the semester. Our first ever Saturday dance was a winter ball we put on in December. The dance ended up looking beautiful and a lot of people had a great time. This month of January, we have a lot of homecoming planning. Homecoming will fall on the week of February 9th. We will spend the majority of this month preparing for the entire week of festivities. Okay. Our theme this year is decades. The week of the event, there will be a hallway decorating competition where each class and student council will be assigned a hallway to decorate according to the theme chosen by the class that falls in the decades category. Another event that will happen the week of is royalty voting. Students will vote on previously nominated candidates for underclassmen, princess, prince, and the king and queen. The dress-up days for the week will follow as PJ Day, Crazy Sock Day, Sports Fan Day, Decade Day, and lastly, Orange and Black Day. This month, we are also done planning for the food drive. The blood drive. That will be held on February 15th. Blood drives are very popular on our campus, and it will be our second one this year. We expect a good turnout as usual. One event that will actually be happening this month is the Packer House basketball game. For this event, admission prices for students are reduced, and heavy attendance is encouraged beforehand. Students will be given a spirit palm upon entry with hopes that they will all sit together in an orange nation and help support our basketball team to another victory. I'll be reading Lyndhurst High School's report. Prior to winter break, we held our annual canned food drive with the So You Can Foundation. Compared to previous years, our collection was much lower, but we will strive to improve that with great involvement from our teachers. We believe that teachers are vital in the collection process and should push the students to donate whatever they can to give back to the people in our community, most of which are Lyndhurst students and their families. Our winter ball, A Night in the Snow, was held on Saturday, January 13th. It was rather difficult to promote the dance as we only had 1 week to prepare for it. But we were able to pull through smoothly and had a good turnout. There was a Senate meeting today in which a representative from first period class attends. The purpose of these meetings are to build better communication with the students, faculty, and staff, as well as encourage our students to express their concerns for the benefit of our school. This Thursday, our leadership class will be attending the Castle Leadership Development Day at Sutter High School. The class is excited to meet and network with other students in our area. The leadership class is currently preparing for our annual Blazer Multi-Award Rally. This event will be occurring on Friday, February 9th. The BMA's purpose is to recognize our students and their achievements, whether they be academically, socially, or athletically. We also cordially invite all of the board members to join us in this celebration. If you can see on your desk, I left a little invitation for you all. I personally designed this just for you guys. Mm-hmm. On the same week of the BMA is the Lyndhurst second blood drive of the year. It will be held on Thursday, February 8th. It is coordinated by our chapter of the California Scholarship Federation in cooperation with the Blood Source. So every month for Lyndhurst High School, we distribute a club news through our Senate boxes. I would like to read some of our president's reports. So our academic decathlon team will be having a county competition on February 4th. And our ag welding, all students' projects are going as planned. A few students are working on their certifications. We recently completed a district invoice for Wi-Fi modern brackets, earning $548. The Welding Olympics is in February. And for our music club, they're having their spring concert, which will be a year with Frog and Toad. They also performed for the opening for the remodeled McDonald's on January 20th. Yes. And our robotics team, the next competition is the 13th of January, which was way past, sorry. And then currently out of 26 team, they are ranking 3rd and 13th. And our wrestling team, on Saturday, they held the Jason White tournament. They are also having a club team with K through 8 students on practice Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 6 to 7:30, sorry. So if you would all like to join the wrestling team, you all can. And that would be all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Next, we have presentations. The first presentation is Christy White and Associates, the 2016-2017 Independent Audit Report.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Kyle Montgomery. I'm a director with Christy White Associates, and I am the auditor in charge on this engagement. So you all have a copy of the report, correct? Before we get started, if there's any questions that come up at any point during the presentation, just feel free to let me know so that as we're talking about a particular area, we can just discuss. So if you want to open to the table of contents, you're going to see that the report is mainly divided up into five major sections, beginning with the financial section, followed by two supplementary information sections, and then our other independent auditor's report, and finally, our schedule of findings and question costs. So on page one, we immediately begin with our independent auditor's report on the financial statements themselves. So the purpose here is for us to audit the not only the fund financial statements, but also the government-wide financial statements and any fiduciary funds as well. and so you'll see at the top of page two, where we have opinions, that we show that in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of the district as of June 30th, 2017. So basically what that is an unmodified opinion, and in an audit, that is the best type of opinion that can be issued. So immediately after that is going to be management's discussion and analysis, which gives kind of some financial highlights, and then also some additional analysis of the financial statements. So you'll see there on page four that the district's total net position as of June 30th, 2017 was roughly $28.5 million, which was approximately a $7 million increase from the prior fiscal year end. And what that primarily relates to is basically just a budget surplus that was noted in the 16-17 fiscal year. Moving forward to page six, you'll see the financial analysis of the net position of the district. You'll see there that long-term liabilities increased by a fairly significant portion during the 16-17 fiscal year by approximately $21.3 million. And what that primarily relates to is going back to GASB 68 and the net pension liability reporting of the district's proportionate share of the STIRS and PERS liabilities in the financial statements. And then also a portion of that relates to the refunding bonds that were issued in 16-17. So moving on from the management's discussion and analysis, you'll see that the financial statements themselves start on page 11, beginning with the government-wide financial statements. And basically what those do is take the district's fund financial statements and combine all of those into a consolidated set of government-wide financial statements and converting those fund financials from a set of modified accrual financial statements into full accrual financial statements. So you'll see there on page 13, we start with the fund financial statements themselves. So that's where you can see the general fund's audited fund balance as of June 30th, 2017 is roughly $30.7 million. So moving on from there, we have the fiduciary funds financial statements on pages 18 and 19. And then immediately following that on page 20 and moving forward is going to be the notes to the financial statements. So what those do is kind of provide a bit of additional contextual information on each element of the financial statements. So accounting standards, policies, new accounting pronouncements, additional information on cash, accounts receivable, long-term liabilities, capital assets, OPEB, and then also that net pension liability, which is a fairly significant portion there. So getting to our results as a whole of this audit, I know that's kind of what you guys are most concerned about, right? Is on page 81, our summary of auditor's results. And that breaks it down into three main components of the audit and the three opinions that were issued. So the financial statements, again, are unmodified. The federal awards are unmodified as well. And the two programs that we looked at this year from the single audit standpoint are special education and Title I. And then finally, in the state compliance portion of the audit, we also had an unmodified opinion issued. Moving on to findings, we had three findings this year. One was just a roll forward of the 2016 finding related to internal control over the capital assets inventory. And so this is something that management is aware of and currently working on developing a corrective action plan. And then findings two and three are both related to the state compliance portion of our audit. Finding two is really just a teacher misassignment where a teacher was assigned to teach a class containing more than 20% limited English proficient students, and the teacher did not have the correct certificate that is required to do that, but they were still properly credentialed, but there's just an additional certification that's required in that instance. And then finally, finding number 2017-003 relates to the school accountability report cards and just the reporting of facilities conditions within those report cards that are published for public viewing each February. It's important to note that on both of those state compliance findings, there are no related question costs. So you'll see there on page 84 and 85 where it says question costs. In both instances, it is none. And then finally, on our follow-up for prior year audit findings, the first one was related to ASB that was issued back in 2016. And the current status on that one as of the 2017 audit was implemented. So that area was cleaned up and kind of squared away in the 16-17 audit. We didn't have any issues there. But then on 2016-02, the capital assets inventory, we did have to roll forward that finding and issue it again. So I think that about
If I may ask a question there, on the ASB findings, so this year it has been cleared up? There is no discrepancies with the receipts?
Yeah, this year we did not have any sort of significant deficiencies that were noted during the course of our site visits.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions?
Is there any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Next, we have a presentation, the child development. Mrs. Kathy Woods. Brought the fan club, did we?
I brought my timer, which is on, so. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Kathy Woods, and it is a privilege to be here this evening to share with you our school readiness program. I've been before you many times as the Child Development Director, representing highlighting our state preschool program and our children's center in our district. However, this evening, it will be the first time that I will have the opportunity to share with you our school readiness grant that we have been successful in funding for the past 17 years in collaboration with First 5 YUBA. So I'm really excited to be able to share this information with you. This morning in cabinet, I did do my best to try to negotiate additional minutes for my presentation and was unsuccessful. So I'm gonna try to roll through my presentation as fast as possible, but for those who know me, I like to pontificate. That's kind of my word. So I would like to begin by introducing and thanking our school readiness stakeholders, many of whom who are here this evening. School readiness is not an individual project, it is a we thing. And with us here tonight, we have some of our school readiness outreach specialists. We have Veronica Lepe and Maria and Lulu Vaca. And we have Pam Barnhill, who's our health specialist. And we have some of our families and who come diligently each and every week. So with that, I'm going to move forward and try to get through this presentation in a timely fashion. So what is school readiness? Our school readiness program is designed to reach the goal in which all families support children's development by increasing the use of children's families and schools' early learning opportunities. This is straight from the First 5 Commission's strategic plan. I like to say that our school readiness project is like a four-legged stool, and we have many different components where we target school readiness, literacy workshops, resource workshops, as well as a comprehensive health screening component. Who do we serve? Well, we serve children and families ages through 5 for all of Yuba County. I do want to remind you that this is, these hubs are located at our Cedar Lane, Linda, Ella, and Johnson Park Elementary Schools. And again, we serve families 0 to 5, and we even serve parents who are pregnant and not have their children yet. You'll note that we are in, I can't tell you what cycle of funding we're in because it's been so long. Some funding cycles were 3 years, 2 years. But for those of you who have been with me in the duration, Jill also is our school readiness administrator here. We've had to fight and claw and scratch to get funded sometimes. It's highly competitive. And this cycle's funding that goes through 2019, First 5 YUBA is putting in $385,000. And we are, our contribution for Marysville Joint consists of MA funds. That we get reimbursed to fund our health specialist. In addition, we also provide extensive in-kind services. That's just a given in the form of the skin that I have in the game, our administrators, the 4 portables, PG&E, et cetera, custodial. So we're very grateful for the opportunity to be able to collaborate together to offer these services for our families. These are the faces of our clients. I want to, some of them are here with you tonight, half asleep probably. we're proud of our kiddos. These are not stock photos. I wanted you to see their little sweet faces. One of the legs of the stool that we have is really to promote literacy, and it's called the Let's Read Together curriculum. And it's organized around a series of workshops targeting based on where the child is at 0 to 5. We want parents to understand the importance of reading to your child right out of the get-go. And as you know, with First 5 Yuba, all the promotions on television these days, talk, sing, read. And we really mirror that through the content that we cover. They're hands-on activities. You'll note that the parents are very active partners. It's not you come, you drop your child off, I'll see you in a couple hours. We're really trying to teach habits associated with promoting literacy with our families. And to this date, I use last year's data because it's a whole year, but we facilitated 202 sessions with our families last year for the Let's Read Together curriculum. Another leg of the stool is called Happy Healthy Me. And we're really proud of the partnership that we have with the UC Davis Cooperative Extension Office, where we have strong partners and they come and help us not only with this curriculum, but a following curriculum that I'll discuss later. But really with the Happy Helping Me curriculum, we're trying to promote helping parents understand that they're in charge of what they put in the shopping cart. And healthy habits don't start when they go to kindergarten or when they start preschool, it starts at home. And so we do a lot of purposeful activities, eating a lot of fresh foods, and to date we have covered 123 sessions with the Happy Healthy Me. Again, we have more pictures of our families. They're active partners in this, helping to cook and prepare meals with children. The Farm to Fork program we're really excited about, and one of our little darlings is actually in this picture right here. It's a nutrition education curriculum that really tries to make it the connection between local food systems, garden-based systems, and school food services. Our comprehensive materials are linked to the Department of Ed's health education content. And we utilize the My Plate sort of system to try to talk about the different types of food. UC Davis again does a lot of work with us in this executing these modules, these workshops with our families, and we've focused on 52 thus to this date. Health services is a biggie for us, and when I was preparing, I was talking about, you know, it's a major artery of our program, and I thought Pam would appreciate that use of that term. But We want, there are four different in the strategic plan that we have with the commission. There are four pieces. There's improved family functioning, improved child health, improved child development, improved systems of care. And so everything that we do really needs to be embedded through those sorts of goals. And we do a lot with health. And we do a lot with health because we have a number of really phenomenal partners. Pam is the lead. She coordinates all of these efforts. We do vision screenings for our families in coordination with Peachtree and Ridge Eye Care. We do immunization screenings, helping parents navigate through what immunizations they need or don't have. We do insurance screenings. We try to get students signed up with health insurance. We do oral health screenings, fluoride varnish with the county health department. Pam is a walking glitter bug expert. She has her little puppy, and we go in and we do the glitter, and then we wash our hands and we talk about how important those sorts of things are, really hands-on in the classroom. We develop health plans for students that need. We have many of our students, not only within the state preschool program, but also within our school readiness, that have some very distinct health needs that we need to serve. We do flu clinics at our sites, and today, this fiscal year, we've had over 500 families who have actually attended those flu clinics and received flu shots from the county health department. And again, as I noticed that the health services, we target not only the 450 students within our school readiness program, but also all of our little ones from ages 0 to 5. You'll see in these photos, we have a lot of fun in our program, but these are little characters and they have big teeth, and we teach them, well, this is actually fluoride varnish going on. But before we get to the fluoride varnish part, what we do is we talk to kids about, we have teeth, and we have our toothbrushes, and we have our masks, and we go through exactly what's going to happen so that when they do get to that point that's a safe experience for them, all, of course, is with the consent of their parents. Education. We have a lot that we want to share with our parents, and we do that through a forum called Monthly Meetings. And each of our outreach specialists facilitate a monthly meeting every month at our sites. That's why they're called monthly meetings. And we pull in local resources, dental van, Harmony Health, mental health. And what we do is we try to give an overview of all the activities to come. During our monthly meetings, it's generally held in the cafeteria of the elementary school, and we have quite a crew. We sometimes 50, 60, 70 families will show up at a time to get the news of what we're doing. Our weekly resource meetings, we have those every week as well at all of our four hubs. And that's a forum for us to be able to provide multiple workshop series with our school readiness community partners. And this is where we really drill down and we talk to our families about what topics they're of interest in. To date, we talk about nutrition, nurtured heart, cold flu prevention. We've got safe talks, first aid, bike safety, helmet giveaways, car seat assistance. And so to date, actually this is last year's time, but we're on track to accomplish this thing the same, but we have had 722 hours of FaceTime with our families. And that's really impressive when you do the math, but we're really spending a lot of time helping to grow this our community of families. How do we keep all this straight? Because we have a lot going on at each of our four hubs, is that we create monthly calendars. And it's too small for you to see, but we really describe the curriculum. We outline Let's Read. We talk about Happy Healthy Me. We talk about health screenings. And then we blast these out into the universe, the school websites. We give these to the First Five Commission. They put them on their website because we need to understand, too, is that we are serving families not only who live within the Cedar Lane, Linda Ellen, Johnson Park boundaries, but it's countywide. So we can have families come to us from Wheatland or up in the hills or what have you. So these are just some examples of the calendars that we use to promote and advertise our programs. So evaluation, of course, is very important, and we have received a great deal of funding from the commission, and we've put a lot of money towards this project. We are in the second year of a cycle with applied survey research where we've analyzed our results, and we do something called a family intake form, and we modify or monitor pre and post, and we have workshop series. One of the things that ASR noted at the end of this last fiscal year is they did see a slight increase in our parenting knowledge and child development as we surveyed our families. We've also demonstrated an increase in their confidence in building physical skills, skill needed for kindergarten, and increases of the frequency level of which parents access the library, talk, sing, read with their children. I think for us, when we analyzed where we were at after the first year of data, we really realized we needed to do a better job of really taking a look at the fifth form and what on the evaluation tool, not just doing a pre and a post and saying, okay, good, and now send it to the evaluator. It's really analyzing and making sure that all the things we asked during the ASR evaluation is what we're embedding in our workshops. And I think there was a little bit of a disconnect there. So we've really made an effort to really beef that up, and I'm excited to see higher significant increases this next year. Here are some of our families, some of our moms. We do have fathers that attend our sessions as well. And when I talked at the very beginning about the fact that there's four strands in the strategic plan, four overarching goals, one of them is systems of care. And really what that talks about is the influence that we have on the community, and not just the child development and the health and the parenting aspect, but how do parents feel connected to their community and how they feel supported? And we did survey our families and said, can you please give us just one word that describes your involvement in our program? And these are some of the descriptors that they gave us. And I think that's very telling because these families really feel connected and have established some support mechanism for themselves that really go outside of literacy, health, and parenting. So we're really proud of that. It's hard to measure that in terms of, you know, an evaluation tool, but this was our own informal attempt at that. Sense of pride. I think as I talk about the support systems that have been corrected for our parents, I think our parents feel empowered, and I think they feel proud. And one of the things that we teach them is that you are your child's first teacher and you are your child's best advocate. And that doesn't happen just when you're 0 to 5, but this happens throughout their tenure in our district. So highlights for this year, we have implemented what we call the ASQ, which is the Ages and Stages Questionnaire. It really is a developmental screening tool. It's new to us. We're just at the infancy stages, but that ASQ data then goes to the County Health Department, and it is rolled into the Help Me Grow program, where certified nurses and experts can then reach out to the families if need be to support them. So that's really where we're at right now. That was the biggest step for us, but we're proud that we finally did it, because we've been saying, oh yeah, we got to do the ASQ, oh yeah, we got to do it, but we finally have done it. And lastly, the First Five California, the state express tour, will be landing at Cedar Lane in May, and it will be a full day event. They come with their van, they have activities, and they promote, they chose Cedar Lane out of all of our community, so we're excited about that. And lastly, I want to just touch, there are many ingredients to success, and the ingredients, the main ingredients for success for our school readiness program, your school readiness program, our grant, is the partners. Without this extensive list of partners, we would not be able to do what we have. Plus, we have a really invested group of parents and staff, and so we're proud of our efforts. You may come and observe and participate in our sessions and our workshops whenever you want. We'd love to have you. Want to call me or one of the other ladies, and we can schedule an appointment to have you stop by and see. You know, you're used to the 3 and 4 year olds, but geez, they're a lot of fun when they're, you know, 0 to 5 too. So questions for you that or for me that you might have. And I'm looking at my timer going, oh, I failed. Darn it.
Is there any comments from board members? So Kathy, I'd just like to say, wow. It's so nice about the parent involvement, 722 hours mm-hmm. of positive contact with mm-hmm. parents. Wouldn't the high school or intermediate schools love to have that 722 hours of positive parent contact? And I think that is so important to bring the parents on board. It seems like in our educational system, as students get older, parents aren't involved near right. as much. And I right. think that's one of our struggles that we always have. Yeah. But thank you for all you do and all your staff does.
Thank you. Yes.
Kathy, I want to thank you. I think that one of the things that you're doing is probably one of the most important, you know, your program is one of the most important programs to help kids in our community.
Well, it's a wee thing, so yeah.
Yeah, but I just think it's amazing what you're doing. It's just,
you
know, it's amazing. But what's really funny is you look so much like my sister.
You never
if you
know.
If you were 40 years younger, you would be her doppelganger. And I have a niece that looks just like my sister. So it's just weird.
It's a small world out there in Yuba County. It gets smaller every year, let me tell you. Well, thank you all very much. I appreciate it. And thank you, you all.
Thank you all for coming. Easy. Thank you, Kathy. Comments from board members. Mr. Allison?
Yeah, Kathy, while you're escaping, I just want to thank you for being here, you know.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. Mr. Boom? Mr. Fleury?
You did a great job in intermediate school, and you've made this district very proud of what you're doing with our young people. Secondly, on the nutrition, I was on the nutrition panel yesterday, and our nutrition department is doing very well. I really believe in nutrition. You probably heard the story before. When I came on the board, I was very, very sick, and the superintendent at the time questioned my health, and because of good nutrition, it turned around. And that's why I really enjoy when I visit the schools to see what the kids are eating, what our nutrition department is doing, because it does make a difference. Also, I was recently at Linda, and they wanted me, well, I was asked to do a talk about the years of what it was like to be homeless and that. And so I talked to the kids, and I noticed the teacher is actually retiring tonight on the agenda. And when I was in the cafeteria, I noticed the kids would come through and the kitchen staff all at once would start singing happy birthday if a kid had a birthday. And I've been there twice and I've seen them do that. And it really means a lot to the kids. They clap and are animated and you can just see the happiness in that cafeteria. And I've seen it in other cafeterias. Lastly, on the agenda tonight, we have someone retiring, and I was going to pull it off the regular one, but I just want to mention Michelle Derryberry. For those that don't know, she started in 2006, and she was very instrumental, along with other drivers, that reinvigorated the rodeo. When I started driving many years ago, our first director of transportation in 1966 was a state school bus winner, rodeo. Michelle won twice for California, and she placed at the International, which is the United States and Canada. And for those, that is a tough job, and things can happen as an instant. As I found out today, one instant, things can change. You never know what's going to happen. And our drivers do a great job, but we're losing a big, good driver in Michelle, and I was sad to see that there. Our bus drivers are known throughout the state and part of the nation, and I've judged that rodeo for 10 years, and they're the best of the best. So I wish Michelle the best in her next endeavor.
Mr. Crawford?
2018 has gotten off to a great start. Just at polling, the fifth grade reading teachers' reading levels seem to be up in all our schools, and that's a very good sign. I really like the encouragement and the emphasis in going to the library, getting library cards. At least three teachers are now doing that, making it mandatory for the kids to do that. They're actually making that part of the point system. The number of the books they read, they're encouraged up to a certain amount. Reading levels have went up from 6th, 7th grade to the 10th, 11th grade, so very good sign. Thank you.
Ms. Scott? Mr. Davis? So I would like to just recognize a couple of folks out in the audience today. We have our Supervisor of Maintenance, Mr. Doug Trower. Mr. Trower?
Tonight, we're going to vote on it tonight.
And we also have our Director of Building and Grounds, Mr. Travis Barnett. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association, 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Public comments. We do have one public comment card. Just a note, comments are limited to the maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. Amy Knorr.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I work at the Yuba County Office of Education. I am here tonight on behalf of Dr. Francisco Ravelas, who is attending a conference out of the area this evening. The purpose for my visit is to invite the board members to a children's summit that we have been planning for quite a few months, and this will be held on Tuesday, February 20th, out at Yuba College. It will begin around 8 a.m. and go to about 12:30. And with your permission, I have some information. Is it okay if I approach and get this to you? So I would like to, I'm just gonna share, you'll see on the back, there are several different agencies that will be presenting executive summaries at the summit. But These are Dr. Ravelis' words. It says, "The gathering implicitly acknowledges that no one is as smart as all of us, and that operational value can be gained by considering diverse and parallel perspectives that carry decision-making implications for each of our unique agencies and missions." And if that doesn't catch your attention, we will have a live drummer there. So hopefully you'll come and take advantage of this Children's Summit. It is one that I think will be very valuable to everyone who attends. Do you have any questions for me? Can I also make a plug for the Academic Decathlon? I'm going to switch hats. I'm the county coordinator for the Academic Decathlon, and we have that coming up on Saturday, February 3rd, which will be here at Marysville High School. And the students have been working hard. I just left Wheatland High School, where I proctored the essay portion of the exams that they will be taking. And it does take about 30 volunteers to make this a successful event. And I was really excited because Beale Air Force Base was sending 25 volunteers. I just found out that that may not be happening. So if you'd like to help on February 3rd, my contact information is right on the back. And I would be so happy to give you a responsibility for that day. So do you have any questions? All right, thank you so much and have a great evening.
Thank you very much. Superintendent's report.
I have a couple of announcements. First of all, the Lindhurst High School Hall of Fame ceremony will be taking place on Friday, February 2nd. I'll be sure to put this in your Friday memo. It starts at 5:30 p.m. with an open house, and then it goes right into one of the most delicious dinners you will have locally. Chef Leverett will be cooking along with his mini chefs. So it's always fun to see those kiddos. They take great pride in the work they do, and the food is delicious. The second announcement is the Calusa Sutter and Yuba Charter of ACSA will be having their annual Administrator of the Year Awards dinner. It will be happening on February 8th at the Hillcrest Plaza Room in Yuba City. If you're interested in attending, if you would let me know, or Lisa, no, we need to send in our reservations, and certainly would love to have all of you there. We do have one district administrator who will be recognized that evening. So if you're wanting to go and have a fun time, this is another great event. And then the last event that I want to share with you is the Murder at the Rusty Spittoon Saloon fundraiser. For those of you who attended last year's Murder Mystery Dinner, we are ready to have our next, well, we're not quite ready, but we're getting ready for our next fundraiser. It is for the Education Foundation, and it does fund all of the mini grants that teachers and administrators and other district folk submit on behalf of their students. That will be on March 24th. It's a Saturday at 6 p.m., and tickets are $30 per cowboy or cowgirl. So feel free to come dressed in the appropriate Western wear and be ready to have a lot of fun. And that's my announcements for the evening.
So, Dr. Todd, would it be okay to share who the nominees are or the induction folks for the LHS?
Well, if you want to ruin the surprise.
I figure if it's already out there.
I'm just teasing. Hopefully they know. Bob Auberg. Dave Gothrow and Dr. Eric Hammer will be the three inductees to the Lindhurst High School Hall of Fame this year.
Thank you.
No more surprise.
Okay, we'll have the approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting of 12-12-17. Are there any corrections or additions for the minutes?
If there are no additions or deletions, I make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Motion to approve by Mr. Boom, second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say yes.
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 Five yes, seven yes.
Five yes.
let's try that again, huh? Okay, moving on to consent agenda. We do have one correction for the consent agenda. If board members would turn your packet to page 5. Number 4, field trips, letter D. The correction for Yuba Gardens Intermediate School Choir, the number should be 13, not 33. So we'll make that one correction. Page 5. It'd be in the yellow portion. So number 4, letter D. Okay. Would anybody like anything pulled off of the consent agenda? If there's no items pulled, we'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the...
We have a motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
7 ayes. I guess ayes sound better than yes. Okay, moving on to new business. Student services. We have the new board policy 5141.52, suicide prevention and intervention. We'll have hold a public hearing. We'll now open the public hearing. Do we have any discussion regarding the new policy?
If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close the hearing by Mr. Boom. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second? Second by Mr. Allison. Excuse me. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Now we'll need a motion to approve board policy 5141.52. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Do we have a second?
Do we need a hearing?
Beg your pardon?
No, we're good.
We have a second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
7 yes. Categorical programs, board policy 6173, education for homeless children. We'll now open a public hearing. Any discussion during the public hearing? If there's no discussion, we'll entertain a motion to close the hearing.
Make a motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Boom to close the hearing. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Crawford. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
7 yes. Now we need a motion to approve the revisions to board policy 6173.
Motion to approve revisions.
Motion by Mr. Boom. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Before I move, I'm not moving. So can we go ahead and do this? Mr. Fleury wants to go. No.
Before we close the meeting, I just wanted to correct an omission on my part. Thank you, Mrs. Scott. In case you haven't noticed, we have 3 new faces sitting across from you at the table. Kathy Woods did her presentation tonight, Child Development Program. Tom Russer, principal at McKinney Intermediate, and Siobhan Matthews, the principal at Marysville High School. So welcome. They've been to cabinet a couple of weeks now, so they're seasoned veterans, and this is only the first of all of the board meetings they are looking forward to attending.
They are looking very excited.
Y'all want to do it twice.
Okay, so in closing the meeting today, we have one by Mr. Fleury.
I would like to close the meeting today in memory of Mike Chargaloff. He was a coach at Lyndhurst High School, and he went through our school district all the way from kindergarten through, and he's had second grader daughter at Kynock, and a daughter at McKinney, and a son that was in independent study.
Meeting adjourned.
And that for Lisa.